Ephesians chapter number 2, Bible talks about what God's done for us and raising us up together and making us to sit together in heavenly places. Isn't that what it says? Raising us up with Christ. So that's Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 6. In heavenly places in Christ. Then in the first chapter, if you just back up to verse chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, you'll see that it says something about him being raised. He's talking about the power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We're seated there with him, according to the sixth verse of the second chapter. And he seated us with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. That's where we're seated with Jesus, far above. Now that's a place of dominion. Remember, we were studying earlier in the month. Well, maybe actually it was in January. We were talking about Psalm 8, where it talks about thou madest him to have dominion. Talking about man. What is man that you mindful of him, the son of man that you visited him, and so forth. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you made him to have dominion. That's Adam originally in the Garden of Eden, but that's also what Jesus came to bring back to us. That's why he said, all authorities, when he raised from the dead, all authorities given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore. And he handed that dominion to the church. Yes. And he said, you cast out devils, you heal the sick. How are you going to do that without dominion? Right. Somebody said, well, he said he had it. Yeah, but he gave it to us and told us to go. Hallelujah. So that's this dominion. We've been talking about this. We've not even scratched the surface of it. You've been preaching of it since the beginning of the year and you haven't scratched the surface? Haven't even scratched the surface. But we're just going to spend a lot of time in this year. And Sunday, we started talking about a big factor, because we're raised up, seated with Jesus in heavenly places. But, you know, like we said on Sunday, look at your neighbor and say, sure looks like you're sitting here, not there. See, that's not talking about in Ephesians 2:6. It's not talking about our bodies. Our bodies are sitting here. Our spiritual position, the new creation, the position of the new creation in Christ is far above Satan. As far as rank and authority, you're far above. Your body's not sitting up there. Your body's still here on the earth. And really, the part of your being that is raised up far above is the part and the part that's seated with Christ above all these principalities and powers, all these forces of darkness. The part of your being that is raised to that position is your spirit. Yeah. Not your soul. Not your mind. Right. Not your flesh. That's right. That's right. So to walk in dominion, we're going to have to walk out of our spirits. That's right. You know, when God tells you to do something, whether it's in his word or he tells you by his spirit, yes. You just, when you walk in that, you just walked over into authority. Because you're walking not out of your head. A lot of times your head's telling you that doesn't make any sense. That's why people don't tithe. That don't make no sense. Giving 10% away and I'm still going to have enough or have more than enough, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. I'm going to keep saying that. Every now and then somebody's going to go, oh, I do. Faith doesn't operate out of your head, your intellect. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean to our understanding. Right. So when we walk out of the candle of the Lord, which the Bible said, don't put a bushel basket of reasoning over that. Remember Mark 4. When we walk out of the light that comes into our spirit, that's the candle of the Lord. When we step over into the supernatural. We step over into the dominion of the word. When it says, like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. When you do that, you have just taken dominion over everything being added to you. Did you know that? Because you're living out of faith, out of your heart. Your faith in that verse, out of your heart, not your head. Because your head a lot of times is going to say, you can't put the kingdom of God first. You know, you got to work a job on Wednesday nights, or you got to work a job on Sunday mornings, or, you know, how are you going to get ahead by putting the kingdom first? Your head's not going to understand that. See, that's why you don't walk in dominion out of your head. So we've been talking a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about it a couple times, I think, maybe. But the real battle when it comes to what Christians, and I'm getting a little echo here, guys. I don't know if you can hear that. But where Christians, and especially charismatics, talk about spiritual warfare, a lot of times they're talking about the devil, against the devil. Well, really, spiritual warfare, when it comes to the enemy, is not something you launch against him. It's something he launches against you.
Right.
And you stand.
Yes, that's right. You stand.
Bible didn't say, having done all to attack, attack.
No.
Why are you attacking?
Come on.
Whenever the Bible said, Jesus said, occupy till I come.
Yes.
Well, I got to get the victory. No, occupy the victory you already won.
That's right.
Amen.
Occupy. We're not in the fighting army in the sense of fighting the devil, taking new ground. We are standing the ground that Jesus already won for us. But anyway, when it comes to spiritual warfare, in that realm, people get all confused. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, more often in the Bible, when the Bible uses the New Testament, uses the term war or warfare. You can look this up and find it out. Most of the time, it's in the context, not always, but most of the time, it's in the context of the battle between either the flesh and the spirit man or the mind and the spirit man.
Right.
Amen. Remember James 4:1, it says, he talks about the lust that war in your members. Remember that? Your members are your fleshly members. He's talking about, you look at the whole context, talking about the flesh. Amen. That's a war going on between your spirit and your flesh. And the Christians that get a hold of that fact, they know what the warfare is all about, and they don't fight as one beating the air, like Paul said.
Yeah.
When you don't know who the enemy is or what you're supposed to be keeping under, you're going to be throwing punches at people or the devil, or whenever he's all he's doing is just kind of poking your flesh and getting you to yield to it. Isn't that right? Now, so really, when it comes to spiritual warfare, a lot of it has to do with which part of your being is going to rule you or dominate you. Is what's in your heart through the Word of God planted there, is that going to rule you, or what you think or the feelings of your soul? That's the battle. Because we're three-part beings. I pray God, Paul said in 5:23, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So you are a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a body. The real you is your spirit being. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. When you die, you're not dead like a dog. You know what I mean by dead like a dog? I mean you live forever. Because the real you... The real you is your spirit, man.
Right. Amen.
It's either going to go up or down.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So in the Bible, that's where the real battle is. And the Bible says over in 1 Peter 2:11, he talks about the lust of your flesh that war against your soul. There's the word warfare. And it's once again talking about the battle between, in that case, the mind and the flesh. Your soul or flesh. Amen. Now, Ephesians 2:3, I'm going over a few things here. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So I want you to notice there, the mind is part of the soul. The soul is made up of the mind, will, and the emotions.
Right.
And here he's talking about he mentions the lust of our flesh, and then he says, fulfilling, when we walked in the lust of our flesh, we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and, you might want to circle, and, Ephesians 2:3, the mind.
And the mind. Yep. Right.
So, first of all, he categorized everything into the lust of the flesh, and then he said, but in that area of the lust of the flesh, those are manifested in two different areas of your being.
Right.
We can understand the lust of a person's flesh or his body's appetites. Or the word lust means desires.
Yeah.
Or actually it means extreme desires.
Yeah.
You can understand the desires of the body.
Sure.
But what's this lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind? What are the lusts of the flesh in the mind? You ever thought about that? Did you know your mind and your soul, your whole soul, your emotions are part of your soul, that all, without it being either, the Bible says, renew our minds, or it says, have received with meekness and engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, the renewing of the mind, there's more to the Word of God affecting your soul than just renewing of the mind. It's to save your soul.
That's right.
Somebody said, I thought my soul was saved. Well, your spirit man was recreated and born again, but your soul, you still have to do something with that, apparently, because Paul's, or not, that's James, actually. He said, receive with meekness, grant the word was able to save your soul. That's something that happens to Christians after they're born again.
Yes.
So that's to be something you and I do through the word of God. And so the verses talking about the lust of the flesh in the soul, there's fleshly lust in the body, but there's fleshly lust in the soul. There are things your soul likes that are warring against your spiritual nature. And it's telling us that those lusts are not to dominate us. Isn't that right? So really part of walking in the authority of the believer is to not let your soul dominate you, your mind dominate you, or your body dominate you. You ever had some feelings towards anybody that's done you wrong? Yeah, like before I came to church, I mean, just... Well, how many of you know you haven't sinned just because you had those feelings?
Right.
Sin's what you do with them.
Yeah, that's true.
You can feel so bad because you feel like it's really working. You know, you're really getting stirred up on the inside. Yeah. But just because you just feel it doesn't mean you've yielded to it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If you just stay in church, we'll get some good utterance here. Amen. So really, a big part of developing spiritually is just learning to always obey the voice of your spirit and not the voice of your body or the voice of your soul, which we call emotions, but really, or we call them feelings. You know, somebody said, I got my feelings hurt. That doesn't mean that they physically felt something. You know, somebody can say something by words, and it didn't physically hit you, but you felt it hit your soul.
Amen.
You ever felt that hit your soul?
Yes.
Say, I got my feelings hurt. Well, what are we saying? We're talking about the emotions. Isn't right that right? In other words, what they said stirred up the feelings of animosity. The fleshly nature is selfish, and it stirred up the feelings of, how dare you do that to me?
There it is.
Me. You know, don't you know how you hurt me? Well, it's all about me, and it's all about my feelings, and it's all about myself. See, when it's all about me, it's all selfish. Well, I don't know if everybody's going to be glad they came tonight or not, but let's talk a little bit about emotions. Amen. Some people just sort of have a natural distaste for emotionalism because of maybe the way they were raised or whatever. And then other people, to be honest with you, they pretty much raised, that's what they were suckled on. Their mama put in their bottle milk and emotions. And they're completely dominated by their emotions. You know what I'm talking about? So the Bible calals emotions, at least some of them, I think, affections. Affections. Remember Colossians 3, is it 3? 2? 3? 3? Yeah, 3, 1 and 2. It talks about seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. And then it says set your affections, verse 2 says, set your affections on things above. Well, what are your affections? If you look it up, Paul said, remember he said there in the book of Acts, he's mentioned one time, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life, what's the next word? Dear unto myself. That's the same concept. I've studied the affections for a long time. The Lord started teaching me this probably 10 years ago. And it took me a while to really understand it all. But the affections are just that. It's what's dear to you.
Right.
Yeah. It's emotional love. Well, somebody said, I shouldn't have any of that for anything. Oh, yeah, you should. You remember the Bible said, this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. If you read Luke's account, all your mind and all your strength.
Yes.
That's everything in you.
Yeah.
If you got anything in your soul, anything in your spirit, anything in your body, anything, love God with it. If you got any strength in your body, love God with it. Amen. So these are, yes, we don't walk by feelings. You know, we don't. Oh, there's so much to. We're pulling a lot of lids open. I don't know how many lids we're going to get closed tonight, but you don't walk by your love. Your relationship with God is not based on feelings.
Right.
You can have God administer to you, and your whole spirit and soul just love God. Thank you. I love you so much. And then He can do something to correct you.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
And your soul starts pouting. You know what I'm talking about. And anybody? Yeah, I felt that too. It was an ouch on me too. But affections are emotional love. It's basically what you hold dear, what you're fond of, or what you cherish emotionally. I just love sports, somebody said. Well, that's not the love of God. That's an emotional attachment. Tell your neighbor he's preaching all right. Amen. It's actually, the world calls it passions. And even Christians are being taught to follow their passions. We shared this on Sunday, but I just know there's just some things we get to, in order to get to where we're going, we got to say some things again. And they're taught to follow their passions, and they do so right into sin. I've heard testimonies of people saying things like that. They go to church where they're not properly dividing, like Hebrews 4:12 says to do, the difference between the soul and the spirit. And people, since the affections are so down there, they're the deepest part of the soul, emotions and so forth. They're the deepest part of the soul. So since they're the deepest part of the soul, they're down there beside the spirit, but it's a totally different part of your being. And some people, because they're so close together, they don't know the difference. But the Bible says to divide the two. And there's only one thing that can do it. You can't do it with the psychologist in the psychologist office. You can't do it with any self-help books or anything like that. You can only do it with one thing. He said, it's the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God. It's the only thing that can help you divide the difference between the two. And each part of your being has a voice. And sometimes you'll just have to know, is that the voice of my spirit or is that the voice of my soul? Because these things, your soul will deceive you. I've had it deceive me before. Before, especially before I, you know, I'm not perfect yet, but especially before I started growing more spiritually. Oh my goodness, you just feel a certain way real, real strong, but you find out later it was nothing but your feelings. That's what it was, your feelings. Amen. So, people have a passion. You see this on, like, I don't even know if they have this anymore, so I might be so outdated you don't even know what I'm talking about. But what's that, American Idol or something? They still have stuff like that? They'll get on there, and so-and-so will sing. And before they, I guess they interview them before they sing or something. And I'm a Christian. I go to so-and-so church. And my passion is to entertain, you know, all over the world or something like that, musically. Oh, that's your passion, huh?
Come on.
And their passion is for something fleshly. And it's not the leading of the Spirit. It's an emotional attachment. And I notice they follow those things right out of the church, right out of the Word, right out of fellowship with people that are going on with God. And their fellowship becomes now with the world and with sinful people and people that are more of the flesh. No way anybody can tell me that's God.
That's right.
But they're convinced because it's my passion. I have a passion for music. I have a passion. Why? Did you know the purpose of music? No, you didn't. That's why you have a passion that led you into the world. Which you only can get there by compromising. You can't get there with that fame which you want. You can't get there with worshiping Jesus. So you got to sing about emotional love and you got to sing about love affairs. Don't tell me that's the Spirit of God. Don't tell me God is giving you an open door. Don't tell me he's giving you the platform to sing to the whole world about carnal stuff. Don't tell me. Don't try to kid. Don't insult my intelligence. Amen. They know nothing about holiness, and they become less holy than they ever have been. And they have to compromise everything they say they were raised in church. They have to compromise everything they were taught in church. And the sad thing is some parents are pushing them into it. Because you're going to get rich and pay off my house. Oh, so it's all about money now, huh? The Bible says, you see, the Bible doesn't say, never says to follow your passions. Never says follow your affections. It says set your affections. In other words, you choose where they are put. I know what it's like for your affections to start getting a hold of you. I'll tell you a little story. Yeah, you want to hear it? I started, when the Lord gave, because I totally, when I was a kid, I got to back up to tell the story right. When I was a kid, the hunting was my world. I mean, we just lived for hunting season. I mean, the hometown I went to, on the first day of deer season, you drive through downtown to go out to the mountain where you're going to hunt, and it looks like a Saturday afternoon, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. I mean, all the stores are lit up. The whole streets are full. Everything. I mean, that's culture. That's, oh, see, there's another thing people got to watch out for. That's the culture I grew up on. I mean, if you weren't hunting deer, you were hunting rabbits. If you weren't hunting rabbits, you're hunting pheasants. If you weren't hunting pheasants, you're trapping fox. Or hunting doves. You gotta be hunting. I mean, something's moving out there. You got to shoot it. That's just the way I was raised. So. So when I went to Rhema, I took my shotgun and I took all my stuff. I'm thinking, surely there's hunting in Oklahoma. I got out there, needed a little money. I said, Lord, where am I going to get the money? He said, sell your guns and stuff. Oh, that's like throwing a dagger through my affections. See, people say that's like a dagger through my heart. You don't know what your heart is. You don't know. You don't even have any idea what your heart is. So I said, all right. So I went and sold it. And I was glad to do it. When something's trying to bind you, you just want to get out of it. So I forgot all about it. In fact, I moved to Iowa to pastor here. Really, literally, did not think about the fact I'm in the number one deer hunting state. Forget it, Texas. Just forget it. Just forget it. Wisconsin, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. Iowa, number one. it never even dawned on me. I lived up here a couple years before it dawned on me that I was living in the best deer hunting state in the whole United States. In the world. Forget the whole United States. The world. Yes, amen. So, I mean, it didn't, see, when you're dead to something.
Yeah.
And then for my birthday one year, the guys got together and gave me a bow. I don't know how. I must have said something about, that'd be fun to go bow hunting. I must have said something. But so the Lord gave that back to me. But see, I still had to control it. Because if you've ever been addicted to anything. See, I'm talking about this, but you all know what it is in your life. Maybe it's your favorite TV show. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's crocheting and knitting. I don't know. I encourage you to get a better life, but it's... I'm kidding. Listen, there's nothing wrong with any of this in moderation. The Bible said, lay aside every weight and sin. Some things aren't sins. They're just going to slow you down. So... So I started getting back into hunting, and really the Lord gave it back to me. But I could feel it starting to get a hold of me again. And here's whenever I knew I got to pull the needle out. It's whenever I had the thought, I know what we need to do. We need to start a TV show. It's about hunting. And then we throw things in about the gospel. As soon as I had that thought, I knew, And you are putting that on the altar right now. And I did. I put it on the altar. You know what I'm talking about. That's why you're all laughing. Aren't you glad we don't have you up here telling your testimony? But a lot of Christians don't know the difference. They would have thought that's a leading of the Lord. Right, spending all my week hunting in order to take 3 minutes and tell people about Jesus. And then run in here and preach on Sunday mornings and hurry up and get dismissed because I got to get to the woods because we got to make a show.
You know.
Somebody said, it might have been God. Listen to me. Well, what about other people that do that? I am not their judge. God could have told them that. But he did not tell me that. Mine was an affection. So don't think I'm judging anybody else. I used to watch a lot of hunting shows, and it started bothering me. They'd get the biggest buck they'd ever shot and sit behind it, and the camera's rolling. They, this is what it's all about. I'd say, it is not. It is not. That's a hobby. Come on. Go ahead, church. Say amen. So a lot of Christians don't know the difference. They get emotionally attached to things, and they're convinced God's leading them. And they go right into the flesh and become less spiritual rather than more spiritual. So tell your neighbor, I don't know who he's preaching to, but a person can be caught up in the realm of things that they are emotionally attached to and be misled. They think those affections are God leading them. But because they're so tuned into their affections, their affections' voice is drowning out the voice of the Holy Spirit in their own spirit. God contacts a man through his spirit. See, I wasn't in prayer whenever the voice came to me. Guess what I was doing when that voice came to me? I was hunting. But see, you can get so caught up with your affections that the voice that's talking to you about how much you love this can mislead you and drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit. God contacts you through your spirit, not your mind or your emotions or your body. Amen. And direction can come from the Holy Spirit without any emotions at all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Should I find another sermon? Everybody still happy? I'm telling you, a lot of Christians, lots, could be deceived by these things. And so they wonder then why they're not walking in dominion. Wonder why things aren't working out. Your dominion operates through following the instructions of the Word. Amen. So let's maybe go to something maybe somebody can enjoy. Well, that doesn't look like the next title doesn't look like it. It's just titled Manipulated by Your Emotions. Okay. Get this real clear in your thinking. Satan really, he's the God of this world. Remember that? The Bible said he's the God of this world. And he will manipulate circumstances. He will, and through those manipulated circumstances, plant a thought in your mind or cause an emotional feeling in your soul. But God has nothing to do with that emotion, with those emotions. God's not blessing you or manifesting his presence by you crying about how you feel concerning it. And he's not giving you any direction either. You can be so moved emotionally over something that you cry when you think about it. I just love this. I just love this. You know what I'm talking about? But that's no sign God's in it.
No, it's not.
Just because you got emotional. No sign he's blessing you with his presence. People do this over singing songs full of unbelief and totally unscriptural lyrics. And they're singing, ah, and they're all moved emotionally over a lie. They think God's blessing them. You're telling me, I'm telling you the truth tonight. It's actually just emotions that are stirred up. You can sing about hardship. Yeah, that's right. You kind of get to crying and you think God blessed you. That's what a lot of these songs are. They're not about the truth of our victory. They're about their hardships. And people sing them. And they think, man, we had a good service today. I'm telling you, we had a good service. It didn't minister to your spirit. It ministered to your emotions.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
The word doesn't minister to your, well, it does minister your emotions, but it'll fix those things.
Yes.
It ministers to your spirit.
That's right. Yes. That's
amen.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Wow. Tell your neighbor, I knew I was supposed to come tonight. People sometimes, you know, somebody just liking you sometimes can create a warm feeling.
Go ahead and talk about that. Come on.
Then as soon as something happens, it's evidence they didn't like you that much. You don't have those warm feelings anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody can, you can get that kind of warm feeling over somebody that's really bad news for your walk with God.
It's so true.
Young people do this. Somebody, some girl flashes her eyes at the guy and he's like, oh, I feel love. But she's a flesh pot. Did Dr. Dufresne come in the building? I thought I'd... Who said that? Sound like Dr. Dufresne, didn't it? That's the truth. And they think they're falling in love. What's falling mean? See, until you know it's God... Yes, God wants to connect you emotionally to your spouse. But until you know it's God, you better guard those affections. Because you can have affections for something that is not the plan of God. You just like her figure, that's all. Which, by the way, after she has your third baby, probably is going to look a little different. You know, sort of like your beer belly will look a little different than it did whenever you were 18. We're cutting the legs out of a lot of out from under a lot of stuff tonight, aren't we? We sometimes refer to the feelings, but we're really talking about, we're not talking about our physical body, we're talking about our emotions. Isn't that right? And then certain evil spirits, this is on the other side of this, certain evil spirits will seek to oppress or depress men's emotions in an effort to influence them. People refer to sometimes a dark cloud or maybe a heavy weight over their mind or something. But no matter how the presence of that spirit is making you feel, that doesn't mean that anything that is that oppression is trying to communicate to you is true.
That's right.
You understand what I said there? We were talking about feeling warm towards something. This sometimes you can just feel like defeated, unsaved, you know, in bondage. You just feel, like we say, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. You just feel terrible. But that doesn't mean that what those feelings, sometimes that's the presence of evil spirits, and you know, and that doesn't mean what that atmosphere is communicating to you has any foundation in truth. It can be a total lie. I remember going, a little over two years before coming here, I went through the most harassed 2 years of my life, even stronger than whenever I was a teenager, didn't know how to walk in victory over it. And I just stood my ground. I'd spend the night, you know, just speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I know better now. It took a while to get over it, but that's only because of lack of skill on my part.
Sir.
Don't think 2 years is how long it's going to take you. I've learned now. In fact, another thing came against me right when Dr. Dufresne went to heaven. I got over it in 2 hours.
Yes.
It was intense. I mean, intense. But I had more skill.
Yes.
But... anyway, these 2 years, it just felt like I felt nothing. I felt no anointing in traveling. I felt nothing. I felt like I'm going through the motions like a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd walk past some people looking for brains, and I couldn't see any in them either. So I'm kidding. You can laugh. It's supposed to be funny. And but anyway, I just felt like... And then whenever we got here, before we got here, when we obeyed to say we'd come and so forth, it started just lifting off of me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, see, none of that was me.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of that. I felt terrible. I felt like I wasn't anointed. I wasn't called. I mean, there was I was thinking about, I'm not even called. Let's go do something else. Yeah. Things like that are trying to, because I knew I was called. Yeah. I'd answer it, but I wasn't as skilled. And so, trying to make a long story short, that the Lord said that none of that was me. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Wow, because I don't know if that means to you what it meant to me. It meant all that influence that I was under, that pressure for 2 years, was, and it was trying to communicate something to me. Even though I didn't give in to it, it was trying to. And it made me feel like I wasn't saved, wasn't called, wasn't a blessing. Nobody getting anything out of my preaching. Just come on, tell me. But the Lord said, none of that was me. And I got a revelation whenever he said that. Maybe it doesn't mean as much to you as it means to me. It just meant to me that even though that influence was so strong and so prevalent and so constant and so just there all the time, I'd wake up in the morning and bam, there it is. Still, it wasn't true. It was trying to get through my emotions and get me to accept it. Trying to accept a feeling as if it were true. We're getting some help, aren't we? So Satan wants to do your thinking for you. And he wants to create atmospheres that produce thoughts and feelings. But no matter how the presence of that thing is making you feel, that doesn't make anything it's saying as true. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, these things can deceive you. I've said on Sunday, I've been alarmed at times, especially in times past. It still comes, but I know what it is now, and I deal with it. But doesn't mean I don't have the potential. I'm not cocky about that, because I could get lazy and give in to things just as quick as you snap your finger. I'm not going to do that, but I could. But these things have deceived me in the times past, and I was alarmed. You know how my emotions were deceiving me, how my feelings were deceiving me. And so, you know, once I got my emotions settled down and got more in the spirit, you can do that by feeding on the word. See, the same voice in the word is the one's talking in your heart. Yeah. And it'll help you identify the one talking in here and not all the feelings. Yeah. Right. The same voice talking to you in the word, same one living inside of you, same spirit. But once I got through that and, you know, basically got my emotions settled down, I through meditating in the word and praying in tongues can help you in this. Now there's things that it won't help you, but it can get you, it can help you bypass all that and tap into where God really is. That doesn't mean praying in tongues is how you shut down this harassment out here. But I mean, it does help you to bypass it and connect into the Holy Spirit in your spirit talking. Because whenever you're praying in tongues, you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, that's a whole another subject. But once I got through all that and got all settled down and that thing wasn't coloring my thinking anymore, I was clear about what God's plan really was.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Once I was convinced of that, I wasn't letting anything shake me.
Yeah.
Had to fight the good fight of faith, though.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, so let's jump to something here. Anytime, in other words, God wants us as believers to be proficient in, you might say, living out of our spirits. And the more we have living out of our mind, our intellect, or our soulical, emotional feelings, the more proficient we have become in those things. That's why for some people it's not as difficult to get back out of their mind or back out of their feelings and dip into their spirit as others. Because maybe they were raised and suckled on feelings. Their whole world for 20 years, growing up or whatever, was just a storm of emotions all the time. So, you know, whatever emotions those were, there's a lot of different things. But the longer you live in that, or you let your emotional part of your being dominate you, the more proficient you become and the less skillful you are in living out of your spirit. So you'll respond emotionally at the snap of a finger because you're skilled at that. It's like a path you know how to take. You've taken it many times. Shoo, you can slip right into your emotions. And some people are that way. That's other people might have difficulties in other areas. But your goal should be to become proficient in living out of your spirit. even when there's no feelings about it. You know what God said, and you just live out of your spirit. And you by doing that and practicing that, your soul can lose proficiency and your spirit can develop proficiency.
Yes.
Amen. That should be your goal. I don't live out of my mind. Of course, I don't live out of my flesh. We're talking about the soul and the mind tonight.
Right.
But you just get to the place where you decide, I'm not living anymore out of my mind. My intellect's not going to dominate me anymore. My soulical feelings aren't going to dominate me anymore.
Right.
Even whenever I feel like saying something, just flying off the handle, I don't yield to my feelings. The thing that dominates me is the love of God.
Amen.
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 So the quicker you make that transition, the quicker you'll close the door to the devil.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You should make that your goal in life. So spiritual proficiency is when your spirit is more dominant in your soul. More dominant than your soul and your body.
Amen.
And your spirit rules you.
Amen.
God leads you something in your heart. You might have all kinds of feelings about it. And you say, it doesn't matter. This is what we're doing. We're not moved by whim. We're not making decisions on whims, feelings, emotions, or anything like that. We're making decisions on this is what the Lord said.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Amen. And your soulical emotional feelings will lose dominion.
Yes, yeah.
Doesn't mean you won't have them. It's just you keep starving them to death.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still there, but they're so weak.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord says, do this. And you go, okay. And your emotions are so weak, they go, and they try to say, pity party. And you go, shut up, we're doing it.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Now, remember I told you that when Satan is kicked out, we've started talking about this in one of the first services, when he's kicked out of an area, he has had dominion.
Uh-huh.
He always throws a temper tantrum.
Right.
Go to Psalm 131, 2. This verse says your soul will do the same thing.
Okay.
Ho, 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 Pastor, how much longer are you going to go? Psalm 131, verse number 2. The psalmist said, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Well, when you take the bottle away from a baby, you know, what do you got on your hands? A cry, a pout, right? Unless he's weaned. Once he's weaned, that's not a pout anymore. But in that process, no more bottle. You know, tantrums and stuff like that. Well, what he's saying is when you put your foot to your flesh and your emotional feelings, and you're not going to let them dominate you anymore. Just like the devil will throw a tantrum, your soul will throw a tantrum. Everybody still glad you came?
Yes, we are.
When you take the authority away from your soulical feelings to rule you, make your decisions for you, determine how you're going to act, all of those things, you're going to have a pout on your hands. Your soul is going to have some feelings about that. Isn't that right? But you just go ahead and wean it. Amen. Wean it off of any authority to control you.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I went through a phase, I've heard others say this to me, and I understood it when they said it to me. I went through a phase where my soul, I was renewing my mind and my soul was being restored. My soul was messed up. I could go into details about it, but I went through a phase when I got through Bible school, a little after Bible school, I felt like, I don't have a personality anymore. That's what the devil is trying to tell me. Except, you remember the Lord said to me one time, I said, I'm not yielding to the Holy Ghost. And he said, is this me? And I said, yeah. He said, why aren't you yielding? I said, it's not my personality.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, my personality was formed by, basically, he said it was formed by unbelief.
Yeah.
That was a low blow, but that was reality. So I had to restore my soul. All that was formed by unbelief, which includes pity parties.
That's right. Come on.
That's right.
I had to restore all that, and I felt like the devil was telling me I'm losing my whole personality.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I was just getting his personality.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. So you're going to have a pout on your hands. Your soul will, it'll fuss. Tell your neighbor, I don't know, but he might be talking about you now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow. Still glad you came?
Yes.
Go to 1 Samuel 16. Well, yeah, go ahead. 1 Samuel 16. I won't read this all, but 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 15 is talking about whenever God had Samuel go anoint David instead of to be king, you know, instead of Saul, King Saul. Because, see, King Saul was rebellious, wouldn't respond to the Spirit and so forth. Remember, he was supposed to kill the everybody that in that one battle and kill the sheep and everything. He brought back the sheep, brought the king back alive and all this stuff. He just wasn't obedient. He was kind of stubborn and obstinate. He started out better, but he turned this way. And so God anoints David to be king in Saul's place. And these verses in 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 15, I won't read them, but they talk about an evil spirit began to trouble Saul. Remember that? And following this chapter, following this verse here, there's chapter after chapter after chapter of King Saul chasing David like a dog, trying to kill him. Out of basically jealousy, you know what I'm talking about, and offense, really not because of anything David did. We'll get to that. But so, and I want you to see, as you read these chapters, we're not going to read them all tonight, but if you could do it on your own, you can see that not only did he chase him for chapter after chapter like a dog trying to kill him, he's chasing him all around trying to kill him.
Right.
And not only did that happen, but if you read the story, Saul becomes more and more deranged.
Yes.
More and more whacked out. More and more unsound.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? As that story progresses, you can read it. And he's mentally and emotionally tormented. Of course, this verse says this evil spirit came because of his disobedience and the anointing lifting off of him. And so the more he yielded to offense and jealousy, the more this evil spirit got a hold of him and troubled him. Now, if you look at the Bible very closely, and that's what I wanted to do tonight, we're not going to have time. I have story after story in the Bible where somebody yielded to some sort of unforgiveness there's the story of Jonah whenever God, he prophesied the city was going to be destroyed and they all repented and the judgment never came and Jonah had a pity party. You ever read that story? Read the fourth chapter. The last verse in the third chapter and then the whole fourth chapter, and you'll find the judgment didn't came, and without using that King James language, Jonah got miffed. He's upset. Who's he upset at? God. Because he looked bad. My prophecy didn't come to pass. When it was because of God's mercy. They all repented. That's what the prophecy actually was. Repent, because there's judgment coming. They repented and it didn't come. And Jonah's miffed. Looks like I'm not a good prophet, you know. So, but anyway, you see stories in the Bible like this, where because somebody yielded to the feelings, David was taking Saul's place. That doesn't have, you don't have good feelings about things like that. But just by the way, David never did him wrong. It wasn't that Saul, or that David had done something wrong against Saul. It was that Saul was losing something because of his disobedience, and somebody else was gaining it because of their obedience. And he was just jealous of it. And it made him unsound and unstable emotionally. And this evil spirit came to him. Isn't that right? Not everything that you are upset about is actually even true. I've had that in my life, and it's like, have you ever gotten really hot about something, found out later it wasn't true? And you're like, dumb. Dumb. Isn't that right? Well, praise the Lord. I was going to get more into unforgiveness. We'll see where we get to on Sunday, what we're led to do. But when a person yields to unforgiveness, it's a big open door to the devil. This most unforgiveness is because of the fleshly nature of not love, the opposite of love, the fleshly nature of hate, of competitiveness, jealousy, offense, unforgiveness, holding grudges, wanting some ill will towards people, hoping somebody dies, you know. It's almost like if they had a car crash and we had their funeral, we'd kind of rejoice or something. They were such treasures, we just wanted to bury them, you know. Some of you didn't get that. It went right past. You find a treasure, you bury it, don't you? You hand me a chest full of gold, I'm going to find a place on my land and I'm going to bury that chest. Sometimes people are such treasures, you just want to bury them. But see, that's all the nature. That's all the nature of the flesh. And that is a big open door to the devil. The commandment of the New Testament. Back here, we're still preaching. The commandment of the New Testament is the love walk. Jesus said, this is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not as we feel like loving them, but as he did to us. He had no feelings, but he walked in love anyway. So whenever a person walks in this unforgiving nature, it's yielding to the flesh. It's yielding to the emotions, because you don't have good feelings about somebody that did you wrong. Somebody does you wrong, you're like, well, bless God, I hope somebody slashes their tires. Oh, you wouldn't say it, but you'd be secretly happy. We're all laughing because we know what it feels like. That's the appetite. That's that fleshly nature of animosity, strife, ill will, offense, things like that. Amen. But it's like putting up a beat, you know, and I said something about this the other day, I think. It's like the old hotels, they would have a sign up that had no vacancy, and they each had a different circuit. No had a circuit, and you could turn on no vacancy, or you could just turn on vacancy. And that's how you could tell whether you should even pull in or not, if you're, you know, the old days when you didn't call ahead and all that. But so that's what, when you're walking in unforgiveness, it's like you got a big vacancy sign up. Just come on in, Mr. Devil. We got room here. We'll give you a warm bed. Give you a hot shower. You can spend the night. You know what I'm talking about. But when you walk in forgiveness, it closes that door. It's like it becomes no vacancy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's wrap this up by saying this. Here's something we need to learn to understand. Is you need to start talking to this fleshly nature. Like Saul yielded to this and was chasing David. If he'd have just spoke to those thoughts and answered it with the truth of God's word, he wouldn't have been so tormented. So learn to do that. Jesus talked to all kinds of things that people wouldn't think to talk to. Trees, dead men, fevers, wind and waves. I mean, if you'd have been there that day, you might have said, I never met him. Who's talking to that? Nobody's ever talking to that. So, but Jesus, he talked to things, and he also talked to thoughts. He talked to thoughts. Remember, Satan tempted him in Luke 4. No, he said, get behind me. He's still dealing with thoughts there. I think he also talked to the feelings whenever Peter said to him, far be it from you that you go to the cross. You remember that? He said, get behind me, Satan. He was trying to get Jesus to feel pity for what he's going to have to go through. And Jesus dealt with the voice that was speaking through Peter. That's the spirit. But he also wasn't allowing those feelings in. I'm not allowing myself to feel like a victim. It'll get me out of the will of God. The Lord might speak to you about his plan for you and you start crying. Well, you just took the thoughts. You took the feelings. You took the thought is, I'm going to do without because I've got to do this. And Oh, is that what the Bible said? If you be willing and obedient, you'll sort of do without.
No.
So that's a lie.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Feelings based on a lie.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm almost done. Tell your neighbor. I've got good news for you tonight. You're your offenses and your feelings boss.
Yeah.
You can. You have to talk to it, though. You have to talk to your feelings. Hallelujah. Don't let it dominate you. You dominate it. It's talking to you. Why don't you talk back? Rather than just listen and start getting your hanky out. Amen. It's been bossing you around. Feelings will boss you around. But you start talking to it. You start answering it. You haven't really entered into the full scope of faith until you're talking to things. You need to be talking to your feelings. You need to be talking to thoughts. You need to be talking to your body. Amen. Amen. You guys talk to your eyes.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 42:11. This is the psalmist saying this. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" He's talking about being all worked up or depressed about something or whatever, troubled about something. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God."
Yes.
Notice he's talking to his soul.
Yeah.
That's his emotions. Yep. His emotions were whatever situation he's in, his emotions are bothered or something.
Right.
And they're pouting or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking to his emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were talking to him, so he talked back.
Yes, amen.
Whatever they said to him, he was answering now.
Yes, sir.
No, we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. No, we're not going to act like a victim. No, we're not. The Bible says whatever he had to answer the word, answer the whatever Satan was saying or his feelings were saying, answer it with the word. You're going to have to learn to do that or your emotions will take you somewhere you don't want to go. And a lot of times they'll take you right out of the will of God. Well, I don't like the way they said that to me. You know, it's America. We can go to wherever we want to go to church. We're free. I don't know who I was answering there, but anyway, so. We're teaching on these things so you can be effective and not be pushed around. Not these things, the feelings shouldn't be your boss anymore. You're its boss. Hallelujah. This is part of walking in authority. There's a lot of things I want to get into about authority, but we got to get this down.
Yeah.
Or else we're trying to control all this out here and we can't even control us. Amen. So we got to get this down and not let them take us places in our mind and in our decisions. And praise the Lord. A lot of thoughts have the beginning in the spirit realm, but there's also a lot of thoughts, on the other hand, that come from just your own feelings of your flesh. And either way, you've got to talk to them. So, Jesus said, Mark 11:23, speak to the mountain. Didn't he? So he's entering into, he's telling us how to enter into a fuller scope of faith. You got to talk to things. I remember the story. I told you the story before. When we first got married, I had started developing the habit of speaking to thoughts that came to my mind, answering with the word. I'd do it right out loud. Of course, I'm single, nobody around. But I got married, and we were sitting there at the table one time eating dinner, and it was quiet. And we were just eating. And some thought hit my head. I don't remember now what it was. And I just read out loud, I said, "Shut up in Jesus' name." She looked at me like, "Huh," and I said, "Oh, sorry, no, I'm just talking to the thought that came." But husband and wife got to understand one another.
Yeah.
You know, you both kissed each other goodnight, and you're laying there, and you say, "Devil, shut up." You just, well.
Yeah.
Amen. Besides that, it'll help. It'll help you to get it. If you're quiet, you're fighting a mental battle rather than answering thoughts with words. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You don't fight feelings with thoughts. You fight them with words. You speak the word to them. "Why aren't you cast down, on my soul?" Here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to hope in God. We're going to praise the Lord. And your feelings say, "We don't want to." And you say, "Shut up." Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just, you know, ignore these things and hope they go away. When he was being tempted in Luke 4, I'm almost done. But he was being tempted in Luke 4. He didn't just say, I'm just not going to think that thought. I hope it goes away. No, he spoke. He said, it is. He opened his mouth and said, it is written. One thing that does is it brings it, because the devil likes to fight. He sort of likes to fight a battle that you don't recognize he's fighting. But when you say something out loud to what he just said to your mind, he now knows, oh, they recognize that I'm trying to do something. They just pulled the covers off what I'm trying to do. And he's a lot less effective doing it in the light than he is in the dark. He's real effective in the dark. And you're not even quite aware of what's, but when you say it out loud, no, I know what you're saying, and here's what the word says. He's going like, now they know what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't just ignore them and hope it goes away. It won't go away. It goes away by you answering it. Amen. So answer these things yourself. Don't depend on somebody else. You know, get yourself, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your own soul. Thank God for other brothers and sisters in Christ, other believers, church members. Thank God for church services that can help us get a hold of. I've gone to many services where it's helped me get a hold of myself. Yes. Thank God for that. But as we grow, we can't depend on somebody else. What if God's got us in the mission field in the backside of Timbuktu? Which, by the way, is a place. And you don't even have internet and can't tune in to the Spirit of Faith Family Church. Amen. So, if you answer things, they can't get in. Faith doesn't mean that things don't talk to you. It just means you talk to them. So, you need to learn to not only talk to God, but talk to the enemy. Answer him. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know if we didn't get very far into the offense part, but we'll just keep chipping away at that. Amen. Stand with me. Thank you for letting me go a little long tonight. I think. I don't know what time I started. Seems like I went long. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There's a verse in Psalm 106. It talks about they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and God sent leanness into their souls. Leanness. We call that today emotional disorders, mental disorders, things like that. But God gave us an answer in that verse. I don't know if I have the reference, if you're writing it down. Psalm 106 something, 14 through 15. That just means weakness, frailty emotionally. So, and he said there, it often gets in through the lusts of the flesh. Somebody said, wow, adultery would open that door. Well, yeah. But think about the fleshly lust of unforgiveness. Yeah. I just can't forgive. I just can't. It just, you're emotionally attached to holding a grudge. And the feelings, you're bound up with your feelings, and they don't let you, which you have authority over that. But your feelings, if you don't take authority over them, they won't let you forgive.
Yeah.
No, that hurt me. And you know what I'm talking about? That's a lust of the flesh. And he said, that'll bring leanness into your soul. Well, there's a whole lot of that. I didn't know it until the Lord started talking to me this. I started taking notes. I'm getting 4 messages a week and 5 messages a week, and I can't get but 2 of them out, you know. Hallelujah. There's a lot there. We need to focus in on unforgiveness. That there's things that affect our faith, and this is one of them. But it also, your soul was never designed to handle the effects of holding grudges and unforgiveness and things like that. It'll start chewing on you and start opening the door to torment and vexation. And you think you're getting even with somebody, and you're the one that's going glug glug glug. You're the one going down. Amen. So we're going to have to look at that, but we'll get there. Praise the Lord.